Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
304 Jeff Katz News Radio WRVA. It is a Friday. Yes, indeed, we have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. Half hour from now, Dr. Dave Brad is going to be with us. We'll talk about the interest rate cut and what it really means. I know there are people dancing in the streets and, oh my God, this is great. We're going to be able to do this. Just bear in mind that interest rate cuts of that larger percentage have oftentimes been because of economic problems. And now the Fed, and again, we'll chat with Dave Brad about this, but just my assessment of this, now the Fed has kind of set themselves up to do another very large interest rate cut before the election. Another half a percent, 50 basis points. Well, we'll talk with Dave about that again just about a half hour from now. Congressman Rob Whitman is going to be here in about an hour or so. It's interesting. I'm listening to Charles Pyle reporting for us, doing great news. And again, just welcome back to Charles to the team. It's really, really nice to have him here and have a journalist, a reporter, you know, right down the middle sort of a guy. It's very, very nice. But I heard him talking a little bit about the shooting in the city. Richmond police officer shot while making a car stop. Now, car stops are inherently dangerous. Car stops and disturbance houses are just two of the most dangerous situations any law enforcement officer is going to find himself in. I'm thrilled to hear that the officer involved is going to be okay. I was baffled by LeVar Stoney weighing in on this. Because if we're going to just be brutally honest about it, LeVar Stoney doesn't give a crap about anybody who's with the Richmond Police Department. He has shown that through the last 8 years. In fact, I would dare say that LeVar Stoney, to his very core, seems to detest law enforcement. And LeVar Stoney is part of this school of thought that says, well, we could just have, what do we call them now, disturbance or violence disturbers or problem assessors or I don't know, whatever it is. And one of the areas where they want to deploy these people with no law enforcement training, no law enforcement equipment, is dealing with automotive issues. How do you think it would have ended, that particular situation, if you had one of these disturbance people going there, a civilian? Well, I guess they wouldn't have, yeah, you know, you're right, maybe they just wouldn't, they wouldn't be involved in the car stop. But maybe what happens in LeVar's world is that the officer stops the car, and while the officer is busy writing out a full report on the race of the driver who stopped, then that passenger, the violence interrupter, would walk up to the car unarmed, untrained, unequipped, and, you know, deal with it. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? That's a good point. Yeah, all right, well, yeah, maybe LeVar's got an idea after all. Virginia's in play. I don't know if you're aware of this. There's a brand new study out, University of Mary Washington, not exactly a hotbed of conservatism. They have a brand new study out, a survey, a poll, but however we want to describe it. Kamala Harris has 47% and Donald Trump has 46%. Wow. Wow. And this poll was just conducted like, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago? Interesting. 4 percentage points on the poll were divided up amongst independent candidates. And then some people said, well, I just don't know. Well, in a question that asked likely voters only about the major party nominees, the results also remained well within the margin of error. 48% for Kamala Harris, 46% for Donald Trump. Now, you do remember 4 years ago, Joe Biden won our beloved Commonwealth by 10 points. Wow. So the idea that our primetime vice president is leading former President Trump by 2 points, well within the margin of error, says to me, Virginia's in play, kids. Maybe that explains why we are seeing television commercials for Kamala Harris. I've seen television commercials for Kamala Harris. I'm hearing all sorts of stuff for Kamala Harris. They're advertising in any number of podcasts. I don't know if they're doing actual radio or not, but, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and it's interesting to hear ads for her pop up, and it's done on a geographic basis, right? I mean, if you're looking at the podcast that I'm listening to, I don't know that you would look at them and say, well, this is somebody who's probably either an undecided voter or a voter who leans left. So it's geography that comes into play. So the algorithm says, well, this guy who's listening is in Virginia, and we've decided Virginia's in play, and so we've sold all these advertisements to the Kamala Harris campaign, and when somebody comes up in Virginia, they get to hear all about her. You know what I'm not hearing? I'm not hearing Donald Trump ads, and I'm very disappointed by that. Very disappointed by that. Virginia's in play. Now, we've got folks down ballot who are attracting some attention. Some of it's good, right? John McGuire, going to be my congressman pretty soon. I'm pretty excited about that. Hung Cao, well, I think Hung Cao is a good guy. I haven't seen him out at as many events or with as much advertising as I would like to, but, you know, is what it is. You got Jen Kiggins up the road. Hopefully she is reelected. You got a lot of good people. And I am here to tell you, because I talk to people on the national basis, that there are a lot of people looking at Virginia and saying, huh, so how's that going to go, Jeff? What do you think? I'm just saying it's in play. I can't tell you who's going to win or who's not going to win. I don't do predictions because, as you know, if I did predictions, I already would have won Mega Millions and Powerball. And, well, frankly, you and I would not actually be chatting right now because I would be sitting somewhere else. I'm thinking Florida. My two options here are Tampa and Tel Aviv. And, I'm not sure that Tel Aviv is the place to be these days. So, Tampa. Tampa it is. All right. I like the west coast of Florida much more than the east coast, but that's just me. All right, it is Friday. Now, there are a couple of things that happen on Fridays, and I do want to remind you about all of that, right? What happens on Fridays? Well, hopefully you join me in wearing red. R-E-D, Remember Everyone Deployed, started by a couple of Marine moms a few years ago, and all they asked was for people like you and people like me to wear something red on Friday to call attention to the fact that we've got great men and women deployed all over the world, far from home, serving on our behalf. So today I am wearing a red T-shirt. Thankfully, the laundry fairy has been up to speed on this. You know, sometimes my red attire is in the process of being cleaned up, so I don't have it. But today I got it. Salem Witches. You know, Heidi and I used to live really right outside of Salem, Mass. And the school teams in Salem, believe it or not, are the Witches. That is the official team name. And so I've got now I think about it, one of my Salem Witches T-shirts, bright red. And just because you can never have too much red on Friday, I am wearing my beautiful red bracelet. In fact, I'm only wearing one. I have two beautiful red bracelets from my pal, one of the finest young ladies on God's green earth, Emily Morrissey, who, by the way, was, along with some of the other members of the Emily's Bracelets team, featured speakers today for the Special Olympics of Virginia. Pretty cool, huh? But anyway, so I've got my a red bracelet from emilysbracelets.com. Thank you, Emily, for that. And because it is Friday and nothing says Friday like a little dose of Peppa Pig, I've got my Peppa Pig baseball cap on because, well, It's Friday. There you go. All right. All this good stuff that is happening today. Now, we got a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about this afternoon. Just a quick update. I'm looking at the weather. I'm dealing with the weather. It's not great. I mean, it's okay. It's 80 degrees, but man, the humidity is like 99%. So it's less than pleasant. And then next week, I don't know how to break this to you, but next week looks like it's kind of a washout. All week, rain and thunderstorms just about every single solitary day next week. All right, so you do what you have to do. Please feel free to hit me up on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. That is available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I hope you'll take advantage of it, 833-804-1140, the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. Finally, we're just about sold out on Politics and Pints. The tickets are just about all gone, so if you've been thinking about it, that today might very well be your last day to get the tickets. Now remember, this is going to be one of the biggest events ever. I mean, physically, we're going to have more people on stage than ever. Not quite sure how that's going to work out, but we'll see. Obviously, it's going to be me and, of course, John Reed. And Brian Kilmeade had a blast and a half last time, so he's coming back, which would be very cool. And then Dana Lash heard about it, so she's coming in. And because we do have that WRVA DEI policy, Howard Gutman, who is, he's annoying and obnoxious, but he's best friends with the general mangler of the radio station. So he's going to be there representing the lost hopes and the weeping of the leftists. And, Howard's a good guy. I mean, he's nuts, but otherwise he's a good guy. And so he'll be there as well. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to WRVA.com right now, WRVA.com, and you are going to get yourself tickets for Politics and Pints, because if you don't get them today, my thinking is by the time you think about it again on Monday, it's going to be too late. So please head on over there right now, WRVA.com. 315 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 321 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. You know, that song would be illegal in the state of California. Their lunatic governor has just signed. Well, I guess I'm not running for office. So, all right, never mind. It'll still be legal. Gavin Newsom just signed a bill, which I guess is going to become a law. I'll have to go back and watch that after school special. But I think it's going to be a law where you can't do AI-generated stuff involving a candidate or an elected official. And it goes down the list. Yes, it's a huge intrusion on the First Amendment, and we'll see how that goes. But he's doing his best to provide all sorts of cover to the grossly incompetent people in office, folks like himself. John sends me a note here, says, Jeff, please emphasize there is no such thing as a routine traffic stop in law enforcement. John's absolutely correct. You just never know. You never, ever know. I've had people over the years go, I can't understand why you, when you were walking up to a car, you unsnapped your gun. Because I don't know who you are. I have no idea. I've got no idea who you are. I don't know what's in the car. I don't know what sort of a mood you're in. I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're coming from. And I pulled you over because you just broke a traffic law. So I gotta be ready. Nothing against you. Right? It's about me. I want to go home at the end of my shift, or at least that's what I always wanted to do when I was on the job. It's 1,000 years ago. 804 says, Jeff, if you're a cop, why bother with a car stop in a bad part of town? You're either going to get shot, or if something happens, you're going to be accused of being a racist. No, why bother with car stops at all then? Didn't Governor Goober and his team of geniuses up there do away with all of the things that used to be against the law? Like, do you have to have lights for your license plates anymore? Or do we do away with that? And broken windshields and missing license plates and out-of-date inspections. Isn't that all? Everything is cool now, right? You just do what you want, I think. Although, I do have to tell you this. Joe and Emily were out. I guess it's two.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
2 weeks ago, and Emily did get pulled over because she had an expired inspection sticker. And then they also pointed out to her, oh, by the way, your license plate is expired. Your registration is expired. So I got the frantic WhatsApp messages. Oh, my God. Emily just got pulled over. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I said, well, here's what you're going to do. Come back here. You can jump right online and take care of that registration. That's an easy one, isn't it? I mean, when did it expire? You know, if you're going to tell me years ago, well, then you got problems all your own. But if it's relatively recently and you haven't put the sticker on or something. Well, as it turns out, what they did is they just drove right to the DMV in Ashland and took care of it. That was fine. But then the inspection sticker, and they were terrified. Like, oh, my God, we're going to have to park the car. We can't go anywhere. I said, no, here's what you do. You call up Robbie over at Certified Auto Repair, 8401 Oakview Avenue in the Lakeside section of Henrico, and you say, hey, listen, here's the situation. Got to get my car inspected. It's kind of an emergency. And you know what Robbie did? Got him in. Now, I don't think he had any idea who she was. Just said, yeah, of course, we're always looking to help people out. Let me see. 757 says Jeff LeVar Stoney is on his way out, so he wants to show he's somewhat interested. Well, he's trying to become lieutenant governor. Because God help us all if he went out and, you know, tried to get a job in the dreaded private sector. What would happen then? I mean, there's not a lot of openings. If you go on LinkedIn or Indeed under rabble rousers and community hacktivists, there's just not a lot of openings. So, yeah, you got to run for another office. That's just the way it is. 326 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 334, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. We have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. So, I can't tell you how happy I am not to be living in that third city council district. I mean, you just heard, the candidates are just trying to out-crazy the other ones. And the big accomplishment for the incumbent city council is what? Well, we got rid of a statue. Okay. How much did that cost? You take any taxpayer dollars generated in your district? And were those taxpayer dollars utilized to rip down a statue that, quite frankly, didn't bother anybody in the first place? Just, you know, I'm just spitballing here. I don't know. How many jobs did you create in your city council district? Any? Because if you did, that's great, and maybe that's what you ought to talk about. Seems to me that's a heck of a lot more important than hanging your hat on the fact that a statue was removed. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Did you attract any businesses to that district? How's the economy in that district? Prices okay? Everything's good? Other than just the statue, right? You brought the statue down. The school scores up, those SOLs? Everything's good, right? Okay. Well, I'm just curious. Hey, I live in Hanover. That's all I know. All right. It is Friday. A lot of things happening this afternoon. Our buddy Congressman Rob Whitman is going to be with us in just about a half an hour. Former Congressman Dave Brat, who is the Vice Provost at Liberty University for Business Affairs, I hope I got it right, is with us as he is every Friday. Dave, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeff. I was dying to hear how you're going to tease me into the conversation this week. So that's always the highlight for me.
Well, I'll tell you how I'm teasing you into the conversation. I want to remind everybody that you are here on behalf of yourself. You're not wearing any of those Liberty University hats. And I want you to tell us the truth about this 50 basis point interest rate cut, because I'm hearing people high-fiving each other, but there's some folks on the sidelines going, ooh, this may not all be good.
Yeah, well, the people that are high-fiving each other are all rich. So it's the Federal Reserve looks after one constituency only, and that is the stock market.
Uh-huh.
Right, and so the owners of stocks, the rich 10% own 90% of the stocks and bonds.
Wow.
Right, so that's who's high-fiving each other. So they got their nice little signal, and it's a nice little political boost, you know, to juice things up a little bit.
Right.
And the bad news is that it's actually bad news, right, that people are excited, because that tells you that, you know, a quarter of a percentage point of interest rate change can alter our economic thinking. And that's just absurd, right? I mean, what moves this world is capital equipment. Capital causes economic growth.
Okay.
China's got 100 trillion in capital now. We only have 70 trillion in capital to put in the hands of our workers. Jeez. That's the real story.
Right.
How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
The Fed and the Congress and all their wisdom have outsourced all of our manufacturing, all of our jobs, and with it, all of our capital to China and the cheap labor countries, right? So the 50 basis point, right, everyone says, well, that lowers interest rates. Well, go check your credit card and see if your company sent you a letter today. Hey, you know, the Fed just lowered the interest rate, so we're going to lower the interest rate on your credit card.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so the average person is not going to see that the interest on credit cards right now is at its highest all time. The average credit card interest rate is 23%. So they just lowered that. That's not going to happen.
Right.
It's not going to have that much effect on the labor market because we have 14 million illegals.
Mm-hmm.
And the labor market has been shaped not by economic forces, but all the hiring has been to healthcare and government jobs only. All new jobs over the last year are part-time. All new jobs over the last 4 years have gone to foreign-born workers. American workers have lost net jobs over the last year and 4 years.
Wow.
Right? So that ostensibly is the purpose of the Fed's logic. What? The labor market's getting weak, so we got to prop it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final point is we're in the middle of a bull market on the stock market. It's the same as 07, 08, right? Oh. They printed way too much money back then.
Yep.
The money had to go somewhere to find a rate of return, so it went into housing back then. This time they printed even more money, created a super bubble. Now it's all parked in the stock market. And everybody, Case Shiller, Shiller of Nobel laureate fame, Yale, you know, he's got the index out there. Go Google it. Or Warren Buffett will tell you the same thing. Go Google the Warren Buffett index. The stock market is 30% overpriced at minimum. So what did the Fed just do? They lowered the interest rate, so the stock market was up even more. Right? It's, when the house of cards collapses, it's going to collapse.
And it's, Dave, it's going to collapse hard. I mean, they keep talking about this soft landing. This is not going to be soft. This is going to be painful all the way around, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and all of a sudden, you know, I've been on this for 3 years, and all of a sudden, the Wall Street Journal and everybody is all of a sudden catching religion.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, did you know the debt is like over $30 trillion? I'm like, no, thank you. Thank you for telling me that. Did you know that we are on the verge of World War III? This is in the Wall Street Journal this week, right? They, you know, their editorial page, they're hawkish war guys, whatever. And they're getting nervous because the U.S. is shooting long-range missiles into Russia now via Ukraine.
Yeah.
And Putin comes out this week and says, hey, you guys, you know, in order to do this, you need satellites and advanced technology, and Ukraine doesn't have it. So, you know, we know you're doing it.
Right.
I mean, it's a, there's a black swan event out there. If anything goes south, that market comes down, and we're all hurting again like 07, 08.
All right, so smarten us all up, Dave. If it's what was the phrase they used? Whoever the chair of the Fed was, remember he talked about froth, right? It was frothy.
Yeah. Irrational exuberance.
Oh yeah, boy, that's you should have. Everybody should get like a little tattoo somewhere on themselves that says irrational exuberance.
Yes. Just go to the DNC convention. It's a joy fest.
So when it comes tumbling down, I mean, it's going to be, like you say, it's a house of cards. So what are these people at the top, the Magnificent Seven? They take all this money. Now, they obviously know that this is not sustainable. Anybody who looks at it knows that it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
So do they start taking their money out and putting it, I don't know, in housing or in office furniture or flip-flops? I mean, what do they do?
Well, the ultra-rich have access to investment opportunities that we don't have, right? They got private equity, and they got real estate deals and land deals and mineral deals with countries that will have a high rate of return, and they can make those things happen. And we don't have access to them.
That's right.
The reason they have access to them is because we've allowed them to have a market cap of about $15 trillion, right, for these seven firms. It's bigger than those seven firms are worth more than European markets in their totality.
Wow.
Right? Seven firms bigger than European markets.
Incredible.
And so we've allowed that, so no wonder they have unique opportunities that none of us have.
Yep.
And, you know, now there's funds out there that align with Nancy Pelosi's portfolio because she's got such a fantastic track record betting on stocks. So there's some indexes out there that just mimic whatever she invests in, and they're doing well. Wow. And so this is that's what the election's going to be about, right? It's going to be the populist, everyday folks versus the globalist elites. And that's the election. We'll see how it goes.
And this election, you know, here's the part that I find it entertaining just because I'm sitting off to the sideline thinking, well, any way it goes is not going to end particularly well. It's a matter of, you know, what's the least impact that's negative. But I'm looking at this and the parties themselves have completely flipped. The Democrats, which used to be the voice of working people and guys who carried lunchboxes and not briefcases. These are all the richest of the rich, the most elite of the elitists. And the Republicans now seem to be, with President Trump especially, they're working shows. They're people going, man, I can't afford to fill up my truck at the gas station.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It's a populist realignment. It's a major political realignment. You got people like Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr.
Yep.
The old liberals are gone. I used to like the old liberals. They were fun, right?
Yes.
Now you got the neo-Marxists on the hard left.
Yeah.
And it's a whole new day, right? And as we just got done saying, the Fortune 100, Harris came out the other day and said, all the Fortune 100's with me, plus all the Magnificent Seven's for her, except for Elon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're outraged that one rich guy that believes in free speech is allowed to exist, right? This is not allowed. We need all of it.
That's right. Right?
It's not enough to have all of the mainstream press on the left.
They
need all of it plus X. They don't want there to be one place where you have freedom of thought out there, where you don't get punished if you're in business for just saying the obvious, right? And if people want to go watch some fun stuff on go Google this guy, Robbie Starbuck. He's been going around just telling all the big firms, telling people what they're investing in, what they're doing. And these big firms are folding like a cheap suit.
Interesting. I want to remind everybody, Dr. Dave Bratt is with us. Dave is here as Dave Bratt. I mean, he's an economist. He's a very, very learned man. Not on behalf of anybody, strictly here with his own observations, which are always astute and right on the point. Let me ask you about the Capitol. You talked about this and how we have outsourced everything. We don't make a damn thing in this country anymore. And that being the case, Dave, even if President Trump wins, even if we've got Republicans in control of the House and the Senate, everybody says, man, we gotta make America great again. Is it possible to bring manufacturing back to the United States in large numbers?
Well, you won't. Hey, this is great. I get to give you some good news, Jeff. The answer is yes. And you know I never give them the good news, so I must be telling the truth.
Wow.
So the good news is, yes, capital is going to come back to the U.S. like crazy, but it has nothing to do with the actions of our Congress or Senate because they goof up everything. But the answer is go look at job innovation. Go look what Xi Jinping's doing in China right now.
Okay.
He's crushing the rich elites over there. And he's telling them, we're going to go back to the hammer and sickle routine where you just get out in the sun and work hard and bang that hammer, and somehow we're going to get economic growth. But the innovators and the entrepreneurs and the capital flows, they're dead. Go Google that. Go Google China new business starts right now. Or go Google China entrepreneurship private equity. They are collapsing. I'm not talking like going down 5 or 10%.
Right.
I'm talking going down 80%. So China is imploding right now. They're going full-on Marxist-Leninist. She sees what's coming, right? There's a conflict coming. And, you know, what Trump did, he used other levers, right, tariffs. And he would just tell them, if you want to have access to our financial markets, you're going to open up.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're going to get tariffs, right? And if you don't cut the war stuff, then we're going to take you out of our financial sphere as well. And they listened.
Right.
But now we're not doing that anymore. But now internally, they are collapsing.
Okay.
And so look for some good news coming in that regard.
Wow. Well, you know what, Dave? I want to remind everybody to follow you at Brat Economics over on Getter. And because I don't think this has ever happened where you have delivered good news on a Friday.
Yeah, I know.
Let's end on the high note, brother. This is it, man.
Yes.
This is
good. Good. And now we're 1 week out for the CEO summit. It starts next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And so I think people can go out to the website, right?
Okay.
www.liberty.edu/CEO summit. And you can learn all about it right there. I think we just hooked Tulsi Gabbard is coming, and we got some highlights coming on in. So it'll be fun.
I know you do. Oh, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing you and catching up with everybody there. Dave, as always, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for making making time for us. I am looking forward to seeing you next week. And what can I tell you? Have a great weekend, brother. God bless you.
All right. See you Monday, Jeff.
Thank you, sir. That is my friend, Dr. Dave Brat. He's a heck of a guy. Really is one of the best of the best. And this Liberty University CEO Summit is a big deal. They've done it for a couple of years now. And I'll let you know how it goes. I promise. 3:48, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:53, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. Yes, 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 we have made it. Congratulations. Self-high fives all the way around. I'm looking forward to a long weekend. Well, not actually a long weekend. I'm just looking forward to a weekend that doesn't have a huge amount of stuff going on in it. That could be one of the best weekends ever, right? Where you kind of relax a little bit, kick back a little bit. Heidi's got her big musical adventure coming up next week. She's leaving for, what do you call that place? England. You know, it used to be Great Britain, and if you've been there recently, you know, they're officially, I think, dropping great from the title. That's the problems they're having. But anyway, so she's going over there. She's got one of her musical adventures going on with some of her her pals. And so that'll be fun, and I'll be here all by myself. Lonely. You know, not like Mark Robinson lonely, but lonely. You know what I mean? Is anybody outraged by all of that or just some of that? Like, if this Mark Robinson character would have said something like, well, as a teenager, I was trying to peep at naked girls. I don't think anybody would give it a second thought. I think every guy, with, you know, a couple of exceptions, would say, yeah, okay, been there, done that, got it, I understand. But it's some of the other stuff where he's talking about bringing back slavery and how he'd like to own slaves and calling himself a black Nazi. That assumes, by the way, that any of that is actually him. I think it is. It's a drive-by assault on the part of CNN. But Tom Tillis, one of the senators there, who by the way, I really do like Tom. He said, you know, we got to focus on elections that we can win. And I do believe he's talking about the presidential election down there. So we'll see exactly how that goes. I'm going to remind you that John Reed and the Virginia Council are bringing in a fascinating woman. She was with us earlier this week. She's going to be with John Monday morning, but she's coming to speak live. And you got to get your tickets. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. TheVirginiaCouncil.org. Coming up in a few moments, Congressman Rob Whitman joins us. 3:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday afternoon. Oh, yes, we have made it. Congratulations. Self-high fives all the way around. It is sunny. It's about 80 degrees. And, well, some of us are going to be outside. I'm looking at some folks playing through the course here. It looks like they're having a good time. That's absurd, by the way. May I just offer that before we chat with Congressman Rob Whitman? That the Democrats at the State House are so intense on kneecapping Governor Youngkin and anything that Governor Youngkin wants to do. They now have come up with their own plan for students across the Commonwealth not to use cell phones during school hours. It's crazy. I mean, it really is. And it shows you the desperation on the part of those folks on that side of the aisle to just kneecap the governor or attempt to kneecap the governor. The governor could come out and say, wow, this sandwich is delicious. And they would come out and tell you why it's a bad sandwich. It's just so sad. And, you know, it's just a microcosm, right? It's just a little glimpse. Up there in D.C., I don't think it's much better. Congressman Rob Whitman, who represents the 1st District in our beloved Commonwealth, is one of the good guys. He's trying to do the right things. And, Rob, I appreciate you joining us today.
Jeff, it's great to be back with you and your listeners.
Well, believe me when I tell you, the pleasure is always ours. Are you back in the 1st District now, or are you still stuck in D.C.?
I'm just getting ready to leave D.C., so I'm on my way back. And of course, the problem is this time of day is I'll be into the teeth of the traffic. But anyway, that's all part of it. So.
Back to the sandwich thing. Pack a sandwich. Yeah.
That's right.
Time to get back to the district. So where do we have it now? Is the government, the federal government, in business? Are we funded? Are we not funded? What's the latest on that?
Well, listen, Jeff. We're still operating. A continuing resolution came to the floor this week. I voted in favor of because I want to make sure that we are, doing our job, even though we didn't get all 12 appropriations bills passed, which we should have. But here we are at the last moment. I want to make sure that we at least give ourselves the chance to get those 12 appropriations bills done. So we had a continuing resolution that comes to the floor. And listen, I do not like them. They are kicking the can down the road, but it would have been for 6 months, a little bit longer than what I would have liked.
Right.
And it also included the SAVE Act, which says pretty clearly, it's pretty simple to me, that if you're here in the country illegally, you cannot vote.
Right.
It was astounding to me that folks on the other side of the aisle said, no, we're not in favor of that. I mean, how can you not be in favor of it? It's in the Constitution. It's required. And why wouldn't you want to say, yes, we will reinforce that and say, no, you're not going to vote in elections, and we're going to emphasize that, and as well as say, let's unfortunately give more time to get the appropriations bills done. So anyway, it didn't pass, and here we are. So I suspect we're going to have a bill the first of next week. The speaker's been having lots of conversations to try to navigate a way to get 218 votes to make sure that we have that window that opens up further to get our job done. And you know how I feel about that. We should have done this in August.
Yep.
We should have stayed in August until we got these things done. There are a whole lot of mechanisms to hold members of Congress accountable, which we could use prior to where we are now. But that doesn't change where we are now. You can look at that in the past and say, shoulda, coulda, woulda, but we are where we are. And the challenge for us now is let's find a way out of this. Let's make sure that we don't shut the government down. Let's make sure we get these things done. Give ourselves the chance to properly consider the remaining 7 appropriations bills. We've gotten almost 80% of the spending decisions taken care of, so let's get the others done.
Yep.
And then, listen, if you have to look at combined, I don't like omnibus bills, but I understand you may have to combine, a small number of these bills together to get things done. But let's do it in the way that we can close this, accomplish regular order, which means regular debate, talk about what's in there, have an up or down vote, which is the way it's supposed to happen. Unfortunately, now we tie our hands and give ourselves less time to do the important work of the nation.
Well, let me remind everybody, first of all, Congressman Rob Whitman is joining us. And Rob, I often cringe when I see people who are on my team, in theory, who are throwing roadblocks in the way of doing things that are actually good for our side of the aisle, and that's me speaking. You don't have to weigh in on that, but I'm just telling you, man, sometimes I got to shake my head. I'm wondering, what exactly are you trying to do? I don't get
it
sometimes. It's crazy.
Well, and governing is a business where, it's rare that you get everything that you want. I mean, that's just the nature of how legislative body works. So you have to look at it and go, hey, I got a lot of what I wanted. Let me go and tell folks why there are good things in there. There may be some things I disagree with, but, you have to have that longer-term view. You have to look at, where does this get us? How does it help us accomplish things like reducing spending and properly funding the military, those kinds of things? So, and I'm like you. I'm not going to question anybody's decision making, but what I always encourage them is to say, make sure you're always looking at the broader picture, because it's easy to be very myopic and not look at the broader picture. And I just encourage folks that there's a bigger picture out there, and rarely do you ever get everything that you want in a bill. And I think constituents deal with that every day. I mean, you know, we have families, we have loved ones. We don't get everything that we want all the time. That's life. That's the reality. And I think most folks out there want Congress to reflect reality. And reality is we have to give a little bit in order to get things done. I would argue if you get the vast majority of you want done, take that. And then let's do that again and again and again. That's the art of legislating.
So. Well, I think it's the one mistake the founding fathers made, which was not requiring members of Congress to be married, because within the first week of being married, you figure all that out. And
you do.
You move on from there. Hey, I want you to offer some insight on this interest rate cut from the Fed. It's 50 basis points, a half a percentage point, and there's some people that are celebrating it, but there are a lot of people that are also saying, no, wait a minute, the last time we did this was COVID. You did it during September the 11th. This might actually reflect that the economy is even worse than we think it is.
Well, Jeff, there are two ways to look at it. Listen, you know, I always think that making sure that you properly manage the money supply through interest rates is a key component of that. And the Federal Reserve does that. 50 basis points is a pretty big move.
Yeah.
But also, you know, we saw leading into this inflationary cycle we're in that the response of the Fed was late, so they had to continue the upward hike in interest rates. And the concern now is, you know, are we now looking at landing into a recession? Mm-hmm. And is that the reason why we have such an aggressive interest rate reduction? Listen, I see a lot of indicators there that, yeah, do cause me some concern. I think that, you know, we need to look at the other elements of what needs to happen to this economy, Jeff. And I think some of the fundamental things that have to happen is we have to be able to get back in the business of producing our own energy. Yeah. That allows us to be able to bring down the cost. And it also lets us sell energy to our friends so they don't have to be relying on countries like Russia. Mm-hmm. We also need to look, too, at the massive amount of costs that are incurred through over-regulation. And listen, I don't want no regulation, but I think anybody that looks at it today and says, man, we are way overregulated. So how do we do that and take some of the burden off of small businesses that have to deal with these things each and every day? And they'll tell you how much it adds to their cost, but it adds no value to their companies or to the things that they do. And listen, we have some of the most extensive laws anywhere in the world to protect the environment, to protect our workers. You know, I would argue, you know, those things are working. We don't need more. We just need to make sure the laws we have are being properly, you know, put in place. Yep. And I think we can do everything that we need to do there. So I look at those elements, too, about the things that we can do to really free up this economy. And listen, I'm chairing a work group on how are we getting to something that's incredibly troubling to me and fundamental to this nation. And that is we have not been in the mineral extraction business, better known as mining and refining business. We are at the mercy of China for critical minerals and rare earth elements, another critical part of our economy that we've just lost sight of the value chain. And that is we think we can do just little things and not have to worry about where do we get these base materials from. And China, I mean, they issued a directive on July the 10th that, gosh, is sobering, where they're saying we're not selling rare earth to anybody. And they control 70% of the extraction capability on earth. And 90% of the refining capability. Wow. We are going to become overly dependent upon them. And believe me, they do not have our best interest in mind. So I'm leading the effort to try to make sure we get back into that business. Well, let's mine our own materials here.
Yeah, you've been leading that effort, and one of the first people to call out the China threat years ago. I mean, I can remember mm-hmm. you saying that, and I remember some people going, it'll all work out, and we're in a tough place. And I think we saw during COVID where we were dependent on China for medication and personal medical equipment. I mean, it was absurd. Absolutely absurd.
Yeah. Yeah. We've just allowed too much to go overseas. And I think we're seeing the ills of our ways now. We just got to sprint, not just run, but we have to sprint to catch up. And I think we can do it. But boy, you know, in the words of the immortal Jerry Reed, we got a long ways to go and a short time to get there.
Yes, we do. Now, I know tomorrow morning you're going to be down in Chesterfield County Airport, a big meet and greet. You're there. Hung Cao is there. Governor Youngkin is there. Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears is there. I think it's a great opportunity for people to come out and learn a little bit more about the candidates and hear from you and all these other great folks. You got to be looking forward to it. I don't know if there's an ice cream component to it, but I'd be willing to bet there's something nearby.
There are lots of great ice cream places nearby, and I tell you, we are going to be shaking lots of hands tomorrow, talking to folks. We're so glad to have the governor, lieutenant governor there, and our great Senate candidate in Hung Cao. And, you know, we're going to be out there making sure we encourage folks to vote. I've been getting reports today, Jeff, from the precincts around the first district, and we've had a really good day of early voting, the first day of early voting. So I encourage folks, you know, tomorrow's another day where you can take advantage of early voting. That's the best way to not have to worry about the lines on November the 5th and get your vote logged. And the good thing today is that, remember, these are all paper ballots now. So the machines are just ballot counting machines. There's no more electronic voting. Yep. And you can then follow up with the registrar's office and confirm that your vote has been counted. So it's a really smart, transparent way. And I give Governor Youngkin full credit for doing the right thing to get our election system. I think we lead the nation in the integrity in our voting system.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Rob, I always appreciate you being here. Safe travels coming back to the district. I hope it's just a marvelous event in Chesterfield tomorrow, and I know we'll see you out and about in the first district while you're home from D.C.
Thanks so much, Jeff. We will see you there, and we wish you and all your listeners all the best.
Thank you, sir. That is Congressman Rob Whitman. He's a good guy. And he is back. I guess everybody is back from D.C. or on their way back, as he said. And tomorrow morning in Chesterfield, 9 a.m. is when you can start gathering. 10 a.m. is when it all gets underway. The Chesterfield County Airport should be a really, really, really good time. And you could register ahead of time, but Kevin Carroll was with us yesterday and said, you know, you can just show up. It'll all be good. 416, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 423, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. In the next couple of moments, you're going to have to tell me, drunk, stupid, or high? Kamala Harris, our not-ready-for-primetime vice president, did this bizarre love fest with Oprah Winfrey. And the interwebs are absolutely all a Twitter trying to figure out, and these were the choices that were given. Is she drunk? Is she high? Or is she stupid? Because she says stuff that, well, you'll hear it. You'll hear it. That's all I'm going to say. Right at 4:35, I'm going to share that with you. But here's something she shared. Get a load of cut number one.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that. But my staff will deal with that later. Yeah.
Really? Okay. I there are moments, I'm telling you. I feel like it's the Bizarro world. That was a Superman thing, right? Where everything looked like planet Earth, but it was completely the opposite, inside out, upside down. It's a little bit like San Francisco. I mean, it's just twisted. All right. Couple of things I want you to do. I want you to go to WRBA.com right now, get your tickets for Politics and Pints before they are all sold out. And while you're noodling around online, get some tickets to see G. Van Fleet. She's coming in for the Virginia Council. Fascinating woman. TheVirginiaCouncil.org. It is 426. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 435, Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday afternoon. It's lovely. It really, really is. It's a little toasty. It's 82, but just gorgeous outside. And yeah, we've made it. So congratulations and self high fives all the way around. The not ready for primetime vice president, Kamala Harris, was on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Well, let's at least be honest what it was. It was the Oprah Winfrey Show. It was not a, I didn't even know how to describe it. I mean, it was Oprah. And all you needed was for Dr. Phil to poke his head out and say that you shouldn't do that. Because I got a feeling that if Dr. Phil were there during this episode of The Oprah Show, he would have poked his head out and said, oh, come on now. If you didn't see it or you didn't hear it, well, a couple of things for you. Number one, you really need to sign up to follow me over on X, because I did send it out pretty much in live time. Jeff Katz Show on X. Jeff Katz Show on X.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Love to have you over there. Jeff Katz Show on X. And then on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. So we've got just a little bit of it. You heard part of it with the gun thing. We'll definitely be talking about that again. But this particular piece is making its way around the interwebs. And the question is she drunk? Is she high? Or is she stupid? There's no fourth option, and that pains me. It does. It pains me to think that she could very well become the president of the United States, and the general consensus of people, and these are not conservative people. These are people who are themselves, perhaps, thinking, well, I should be drunk or stoned or stupid. Then I could be the president of the United States. Well, I just want you to take a listen. It's a little longer than our usual cuts, but you got to hear it all. Cut number 7.
We love our country. I love our country. I know we all do. That's why everybody's here right now. We love our country. We take pride in the privilege of being American. And this is a moment where we can and must come together as Americans, understanding we have so much more in common than what separates us. Let's come together with the character that we are so proud of about who we are, which is we are an optimistic people. We are an optimistic people. Americans, by character, are people who have dreams and ambitions and aspirations. We believe in what is possible. We believe in what can be. And we believe in fighting for that. That's how we came into being. Because the people before us understood that one of the greatest expressions for the love of our country, one of the greatest expressions of patriotism, is to fight for the ideals of who we are, which includes freedom to make decisions about your own body, freedom to be safe from gun violence, freedom to have access to the ballot box, freedom to be who you are and just be, to love who you love openly and with pride, freedom to just be. And that's who we are. We believe in all that. And so this is a moment where we stand knowing what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against. It's what we're fighting for.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Vice President.
So I was raised in a middle class family, and people in the neighborhood, they liked their lawns. They did. They liked their lawns. And they looked at their lawns and they thought, well, these lawns could be what they want to be. Unburdened by what they had been. And so Oprah, can you maybe like kick me so I know when to end? Just nudge my foot, because I memorized all this stuff for the debate, but, well, now I'm unburdened by what I had memorized, and I haven't memorized it, but I know I was raised in a middle class family. By the way, she wasn't. It's just one of those tiny little things that I actually know something about. You know, I can tell you a lot of stuff about Montreal because for the longest time, number one, I love Montreal, and Heidi and I thought seriously about moving there, but that's another story. So where she lived, where her her mother and her sister and she lived in Westmount, western port portion of the island, it is a lot of things, but middle class is not. That is upscale sort of stuff. Those are wealthy people. So she's just full of crap yet again. But here are your options. Drunk, high, or stupid. I wish I could tell you that I am appalled by those choices. I am. But I'm thinking as I listen to her, boy, I could certainly see how somebody says, yeah, I'm going to check box number one. And somebody else is saying, you know, you're missing the fourth option. That's what I thought. You need the fourth option. What explains it to you? And I got into a little dust up online. And said, yeah, you're right. There should be a fourth option. What explains all of this? And they said, it should be all of the above. Ouch! Well, okay. What is it? I don't know. But sure as I'm sitting here, that is not somebody who should be sitting behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. And when you talk about the evil billionaires, right? They do a great job of demonizing people who actually work in business. They demonize people for having accomplished things and achieved things. Making their own way. Owning and operating business. Those people, they absolutely attack on a regular basis. But all they need to do is take a look around. They could have looked around at that convention they had in Chicago a couple of weeks back. There were no working people there. Why do you think two-thirds of the members of the Teamsters Union are going to be voting for Donald Trump instead of Kamala Harris? Because working people in this day and age look at the Kamala Harrises, the Joe Bidens, and realize they're just full of crap. Or maybe they're saying, well, I don't know if they're drunk or they're high or they're stupid, but anyway you slice it, I don't want any part of them. Take a listen to cut number one, please.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that. But my staff will deal with that later. Yeah.
Well, I would certainly hope that the earlier Kamala Harris comes back into play. Cut number two.
Responsible behaviors among everybody in the community. And just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affairs.
Have you heard from me?
Oh. So she's a gun owner, she says, and if you break into her house, you're getting shot. And then when she was district attorney of San Francisco and attorney general of the state of California, she said, hey, I don't give a rat's behind that you are a legal, lawful gun owner and you have that gun safe and secure in the sanctity of your locked home. I am going to march in there and check on it. Boy, I hope she's not marching in and checking on herself, because that doesn't work out, does it? Those two clips are not compatible. It's like the old Sesame Street thing. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. I would ask the vice president, you know, which position she holds right now, but I've got a sneaking suspicion, drunk, high, stupid. Ugh. Talk about a Hobson's choice. Just awful. Just awful. All right, I want to remind you about a couple of things coming up. We got some good events coming up. Tomorrow morning in Chesterfield, Chesterfield County Airport, there's a big Chesterfield GOP event, and you're more than welcome to go to it. There's going to be all sorts of fun. And if you've been looking for signs, remember what Kevin Carroll told us yesterday? They've got the signs. So you've been looking for the Donald Trump signs. Apparently they're going to have a whole bunch of them down there. Hung cow signs. That'll be great. It is at the Chesterfield County Airport. And you just show up. You don't actually have to register online. You can if you want, but you don't have to, Kevin said. So you show up 9 o'clock in the mornings when everybody starts to gather at the Chesterfield County Airport. Governor Youngkin is going to be there. Lieutenant Governor Sears is going to be there. Rob Whitman will be there. All the local folks, you know, Kevin Carroll and Sheriff Carl Leonard and all the good people. I bet you Glenn Sturdivant comes. I'm trying to think who I'm missing. I know I'm missing people, but it should be a good time. Now, next week, G. Van Fleet is coming to town for the Virginia Council. And I have got to tell you, I think it's going to be a marvelous, marvelous discussion. She was great when she visited with us on the show. I mean, she's lived through this. She's seen it up close and personal. And she says we are verging towards communism. So those tickets are over at thevirginiacouncil.org, thevirginiacouncil.org. And you know, October the 16th, man, we got Politics and Pints. Number 8, it's me and John Reed, it's Brian Kilmeade, Dana Lash is coming in. You don't want to miss, and that's going to sell out probably today, so please head on over to WRVA.com, get those tickets ASAP. 445, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 452, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday, and we have made it. Goodness gracious, we sure have. Self-high-fives all the way around. Bolly Jarrett's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, 5:35. Now, you've heard his name, and you've probably voted for him in the Richmond Times-Dispatch Best of competition. He was selected as the best accountant in all of Central Virginia. That's some fierce competition. But Bolly is joining us for two big reasons. Number one, he and I are both part of the Maxwell program. And Bolly's got a great series of events, some mastermind sort of stuff, helping to build better leaders. And I want everybody to know about it. And that's why he's going to join us at 5:35. But in addition to that, did you know that Bolly is a graduate of Clown College? I kid you not. Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey used to have Clown College down there in Sarasota, Florida. And I looked down the list of distinguished graduates. Now, some of these guys majored in floppy shoes, some of them majored in seltzer bottles, but I'm telling you, some great entertainers came through that, and many of them did not actually go to work for the circus. Many of them took the skills and the talents that they had developed, and they went other ways. Penn Jillette, I think, is one of the most highly esteemed graduates of Clown College, but Bolly actually went and graduated from Clown College. We had a great conversation a couple of weeks ago just about that. It was like, I didn't want to talk about anything else. I just wanted to talk about that, and he was so kind. He actually brought me some old pieces of memorabilia, if you will, from Clown College, right? There's an actual application. Now, Clown College itself doesn't exist anymore, but if it did, am I right, Germ? You and I would be making applications, right? I mean, I could make a copy, I guess, a photocopy of the application and get it to you, and you could fill it out, and I would fill it out. We just wait for him to reopen it. That would be pretty cool. But I want to get Bolly to talk just a little bit about that, but it is mostly to talk about what he's doing with John Maxwell, who I just love. I absolutely love. And I look at John Maxwell as one of those guys who's able to help and is continually helping. And it's not just the books. If you've not read any of John Maxwell's books, pick one. Honestly, there's not a bad one in the bunch. Pick one. And learn a little something. And Bolly will chat about that. Oh, by the way, folks were saying, didn't you do a chapter for some book? And yes, I did a chapter for some book. The book is called Elevate and Empower. And it is, when are we doing the full official? Let me see here, because I actually put it on the calendar. I got to do some stuff for it. Let's see. Book soft launch is the first. And then the full launch is yada, 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 the week after. All right. So, yeah, it'll be the week after that. But I'm going to give you the details on how you can get that ahead of time if you'd like to. Did a chapter that is really Julia's quest for cookies. You know, that's my favorite keynote speech. I love delivering that speech. It's just, for me, one of the, if not the favorite ones. And that's what the book chapter is. What they did is they got together a number of people. I think there are 10 of us total. And they said, hey, we would like each of you to write and contribute a chapter for this book we're doing on leadership and achieving goals and positive sorts of things. And I said, okay, yeah, I'm in for that. I would do that. And so my decision was to take that keynote speech, Julia's Quest for Cookies, and turn it into a chapter in that book. So, yeah, it's October the 8th that the book actually launches. So I promise I'll give you details on that as we get closer, because it's going to be a great, great thing. Hey, coming up, as I said, 5:35, Bolly Jarrett will be here. Monday morning, John Reed will be here. You want to make sure you're listening to John. You got a couple of minutes left. Head on over to WRVA.com. Get those tickets for Politics and Pints, because they are almost all gone. 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:04, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Friday evening. Still plenty of sunshine. It's warm out there. The weekend is looking nice. It really is. And we got this early voting underway. I'm not a fan of early voting, but it's the rule now, right? I mean, when you think about this, there are a lot of us who sit on the sides and go, I don't like that. And I don't like that. And I think it's wrong. And I can tell you all the reasons that I think it's wrong and why it's bad. But it is what it is. And you got to play the game if you want to win. And these are the rules for the game. So my fervent hope is that people get over their distaste for the early voting stuff and go and vote. You make no mistake. The left will get people to the polls. They might be kicking and screaming or they might be dead. It doesn't matter, but they're going to get them to the polls. And if our side really does think that we got a chance in hell of doing anything, then we better get off our collective rear ends and get out there and compete. That's all. I'm looking at an email here from Donald Trump, former president of the United States, says, my resolve is only stronger after another attempt on my life. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is one of those things you have to think about. You've got to talk about it. Second attempt on President Trump's life. And you know as well as I do that a whole slew of these people and left would be absolutely ecstatic if one of these guys had been successful. And there's a lot of crocodile tears right about now. And then, of course, they do what they always do. They turn to their inner contempt for Donald Trump and they spew that forth. And somehow, some way, Donald Trump is responsible for all of this. I've got a couple of little snippets here I've got to share with you. Got to share them with you. First, do you remember John Brennan? This is in our soggy salad collection there, Germ. Do you remember John Brennan? He was the director of National Intelligence. And he is a hardcore committed leftist. And by the sounds of it, he's not too fond of the Jewish people. I'll tell you that right now. So I want you to take a listen. Now, Israel was able to accomplish an amazing feat, the most pinpoint targeted military action in history, as they said, beep. Beep, boom, right? That's what they're calling it. Beep, beep, boom. Hey, your pager's going off. And so is your midsection. Okay. And then the next day, as the decrepit, awful people who comprise Hezbollah are out and about thinking, well, all right, good thing we didn't get one of those pagers, their walkie-talkies exploded. Guess what? John Brennan's upset about that. This is a soggy salad, Germ. Cut number 6, soggy.
I think it does beg the question, though, Director, is detonating a wireless device, is that an acceptable form of warfare?
Well, I don't believe so, because there's no way the Israelis would have known who was going to have these pagers at the time, which is why we see that there were some children and others who were killed. It's basically almost a fire and forget mechanism that the Israelis engaged in here. So it's going to tactically disrupt Hezbollah's communication capabilities and in terms of their ability to communicate with one another. But you have to question whether or not this is strategically wise in terms of what it might do in terms of just further emboldening Hezbollah's interest in trying to lash back against Israel, including on the international terrorist front, because Hezbollah is a very, very capable organization in terms of launching terrorist attacks outside of the region. They've done it over the years. And so I do think that Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, is going to feel quite a bit of pressure from his organization to lash back at Israel sooner rather than later.
What do you say about the possibility after these attacks, the possibility that something like this does in fact lead to a large-scale conflict between Israel and Lebanon?
Well, the big question is whether or not the Israelis plan some type of large military operation to follow these disruptive activities over the past 2 days. If an army, a military, is going to launch a military operation, they'll try to degrade the communication systems of the enemy first. So was this some type of preparation of the battlefield to allow the Israelis then to be able to strike against Hezbollah and Hezbollah not being able to defend itself? So I do think this is a greater potential now for escalation. A lot depends on how Hezbollah responds, but clearly Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, wants to vanquish not just Hamas, but also Hezbollah. And quite frankly, I wish that he would use more time and effort to try to see whether or not there's a way to bring down some of the tensions as opposed to using the military and violence to lash out against his enemies.
Oh, he's lashing out. He's lashing out. These are the same despicable creatures who have been launching thousands of rockets into Israel nonstop. But Bibi Netanyahu is, quote, lashing out at his enemies. Well, thank God Bibi Netanyahu is lashing out at his enemies. May God bless him and all of his efforts to lash out at his enemies. Israel is in a fight right now for their lives. The Israelis are in a fight for their lives, and by extension, the Jewish people are in a fight for our lives. And I'm here to tell you, as a proud Jewish American or a proud American Jew, I don't know. People put them in different orders, and I never know which would be better. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not marching onto a car. I'm not getting into a cattle car. Thank you very much. I've seen that. I shared with you the other day the difference between my mom and my dad. My mom represented, unfortunately, a large chunk of the Jewish community in this regard. She always said, oh, don't do anything. Don't say anything. Don't let them know you're Jewish. Just walk away. Just blah, blah, blah. It was all these things that, frankly, came from a position of weakness. My dad was a lot of things, but I'll tell you what, wasn't a weak man, that's for sure. And my dad was a military police officer in the United States Army. And while my mom was telling my brother, oh no, don't say this, don't say that, just walk, you know, do this. My father was saying, you got to turn around and punch him right in the nose. Because we had these thugs, I guess it's the kindest way to describe them, thugs who came from the local Catholic school. Just the facts, not casting aspersions, I'm telling you what the facts are. And they came over to the public school where we attended, and they started beating up a number of us. And let me tell you, they got some really good shots in, and a lot of us went home, you know, sniffing and crying. And my mother was appalled and, of course, thought there was some sort of medical thing that would have to be done. And my father, by the time he got home, was like, yeah, you got to learn how to fight. That's no, don't do that, my mother was shouting to him. Don't teach him that. And my father was like, yeah. And we went down the cellar. And my dad, who was on the Army boxing team in Korea, taught me how to fight. And the lessons were always very clear. And I want to be very clear with you. The lessons were always don't start a fight, right? That's not why you were learning how to fight. You were learning how to fight back. You were learning how to defend yourself. Don't start a fight. But by God, if you're in a fight, you'd have to know how to fight. We'd all like to solve every single problem with polite, pleasant talk, right? Wouldn't that be nice? It's like having tea with the terrorists. Oh, we'll put out some tasty dessert items, fresh tea. We'll have flowers on the table. Meanwhile, they're plotting how to slash your children's throats. Or you can say, I don't want to be in a situation where I have to fight, but by God, I have to fight. That's where the Israelis are right now. And it is sad that there are Americans like John Brennan and frankly, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, so many on the left who would rather the Israelis smile and not fight back.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
And that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. You've got some time to get your tickets for Politics and Pints. I am telling you that we're just about done. Today might very well be the last day that we talk about it, because I think it's just about sold out. If you've been on the fence, you've been going back and forth, even just mentally thinking, well, I'd like to go, I'm not sure. It's October the 16th, Beacon Theater in Hopewell. The other thing I'm going to tell you is that the design of Politics and Pints from the beginning has been that we continually find new places to do it. So this is going to be the third time we're doing it at the Beacon Theater, which to me says it's probably the last time for a while that we will do it at the Beacon Theater. So if the Beacon is the place that is the most convenient and you'd like to see, it's a beautiful historic theater, this would be the time. Jump online, get your tickets at WRVA.com. WRVA.com. It is 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yesterday we had some of this information coming in about this Mark Robinson running for governor down in North Carolina. And it's alleged that an email account connected to him was also connected to that Ashley Madison site. Remember that? I don't know if that still exists, but I can remember when that kind of came on the scene. It was encouraging people who were married to have affairs. And then the site got hijacked, and they released all the information. So I'm just going to presume that his email and username and what have you was part of that. But that's years ago. Why would that be coming up now? Well, CNN, as you know, is in the political activism business. They checked out of the journalism world a long time ago. And they are the ones who dropped this. And they dropped it on the very day that was the last day, to have a name taken off the ballot. I will tell you that the Trump-Vance campaign has apparently, politely but firmly, disinvited him from this event coming up. I think it's in Wilmington, North Carolina. But Mark Robinson actually released a statement, and he says, this is not me. What can I tell you? Take a listen, if you would, please, to cut number three.
Hey, guys, Lieutenant Governor Robinson and your Republican nominee for governor as well, of course. Well, guys, the news media is at it again. My opponent is at it again. You all have seen the half-truths and outright lies of Josh Stein on these ads over and over again. And now a story leaked by him to CNN is appearing now. Let me reassure you, the things that you will see in that story, those are not the words of Mark Robinson. You know my words, you know my character, and you know that I have been completely transparent in this race and before. Folks, this race right now, our opponents are desperate to shift the focus here from the substantive issues and focus on what you are concerned with to salacious tabloid trash. We cannot allow that to happen. And folks, we've seen this type of stuff in the past as well. Clarence Thomas famously once said he was the victim of a high-tech lynching. Well, it looks like Mark Robinson is too, by a man who refuses to stand on stage and debate me about the real issues that face you. Instead, they want to focus on salacious tabloid lies. We're not going to let them do that. We are staying in this race. We are in it to win it. And we know that with your help, we will. God bless you. And we will see you where? On the campaign trail.
All right. Well, that's North Carolina's Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson saying, I'm not dropping out. And he does point out that Josh Stein, who's the Democrat nominee down there, he has refused to participate in a debate with Mark Robinson. I don't know which way it goes. I don't live in North Carolina. It's not my race, but there are people who are concerned, and one of them would be U.S. Senator Tom Tillis from North Carolina, says, hey, we got to focus on races we can win. He's talking about Donald Trump. Now, there's all sorts of information Donald Trump can win without North Carolina, but boy, it'd be a heck of a lot easier with North Carolina. We'll take a break from all the political stuff in a moment. Bolly Jarrett's going to be here. How about some leadership with class and vision? I love that. 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. We have made it. Yes, yes, we have. Congratulations. Self-high-fives all the way around. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is apparently going to be seeking sanctions. They want to punish Elon Musk. Why? Well, that's a good question. I'm not exactly sure. It says he failed to appear and testify in court in the SEC's probe into his purchase of Twitter, which, of course, he renamed to X. And the SEC is asking for a court order to show cause why he should not be held in contempt after he said he would not appear about 3 hours before he was scheduled to appear on September the 10th. So I'm not really sure exactly what's going to shake out with that, but it's something to be aware of. Pay attention to it. And obviously we'll keep you up to speed on that. As you know, I happen to be an unapologetic fan of John Maxwell and the things that he's written and the things that he has taught over the years. And I am very, very happy to be part of the Maxwell team. And there is a gentleman in our community who is offering you the opportunity to sort of step onto the high road leadership. John Maxwell has a great book out about it. And my buddy Bolly Jarrett, who was just voted, I should tell you this, just voted the best accountant in all of Central Virginia by the readers of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He is offering this high road leadership program, and I just felt compelled to get him on to learn a little bit more about it and hopefully get a few more people involved. Bolly, thank you for being here, sir.
Hey, thanks, Jeff, for having me.
Well, the pleasure is mine. And first of all, congratulations, best accountant in all of Central Virginia. That's pretty cool.
Hey, thanks. I'm totally humbled, Jeff. I really am, to have folks that thought enough of me to nominate me and then vote in the community here for our firm. So,
yeah. Well, I think it is a tribute to you, the tribute to the team and what they do. Let's talk a little bit about your involvement with somebody who I think we both look at as a mentor and an inspiration, John Maxwell.
Yes, sir. I've been involved with the John Maxwell team for 2 years now. I have always been studying John's books and gaining valuable knowledge from him and the mentorship that he's been able to provide me in personal growth and leadership development. And it's just been a great blessing. And I've been fortunate enough to come alongside the John Maxwell team now as a member of that team. And I'm happy to be providing services in our community now to develop leaders, help them add value to their employees, add value to their community, and just become high road leaders.
Well, what exactly would you define as a high road leader?
Well, Jeff, there's a lot of things that end up coming to play with the high road leadership. A high road leader, if you think about times today, we live in a really divisive environment. The political environment's gotten it even worse, and the whole environment is quite toxic, to be right honest with you. Mm. And we see a lot of low road leaders out there, a lot of low road leadership being exhibited. But a high road leader, somebody who brings people together, Jeff, who values all people, not just the people they like.
Yeah,
they acknowledge their own humanness. They do the right things, Jeff, for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Their motives matter. They give more than they take. They place people above their own agenda, embracing authenticity, take accountability for the actions that they have, and live by a bigger picture. They desire the best for other people, Jeff. That's my my view and definition of what a high road leader looks like.
Well, I think it is spot on, Bali, and it is something that I hate to say it, but the truth is, it's hard to find leaders like that. You invariably find sort of like mid-level managers, right? And they don't quite know which way they're supposed to go, and they're really thinking about themselves first. That high road leader says, okay, what is the big picture, and how are we making everybody better? Not just by spouting a couple of little platitudes here and there, but by actually rolling up their sleeves and doing the work. And so I would dare say that you've got kind of a heavy lift. I think there are a lot of people out there that are aspiring to work for a high road leader, but you're actually giving them the opportunity to develop those skills themselves. That's pretty impressive.
We really are, Jeff. We've got a couple of programs that are going to go on here with kind of a 4-week light program, and you know, just kind of introduces the whole concept of what that might look like. But we've also got a full 8-week mastermind type program that we're putting in place that we can dig a little bit deeper, go a little bit deeper into the material, facilitate some time and communication between, you know, the various leaders that are at the table. Yep. Studying this material and working together. So I think it's you know, that's what we got going right now. So
well, I love it. So give everybody the details, Bali. It's not just a matter of reading John's book. It's working with someone like you, getting together, as you say, for 4 weeks for one program, 8 weeks for another program, but actually diving into it. So how do people sign up?
They can sign up through reaching out to us here at my website right now, which is myrvacpa.com.
Okay.
I know you probably heard that on the radio. One quite a
twice.
Bit,
yeah.
But my RVACPA.com. Our office number is area code 804-716-6178, and that's the program that's happening right now. Jeff, I'm also working towards a leadership conference going to take place, a one-day leadership conference going to take place on January the 9th over at the the Cultural Arts Center of Glen Allen, and so we're working on that. Registration has not started on that particular program yet, but be on the lookout for it. It's going to be a full-day event, some virtual speakers, some live speakers, virtual. John Maxwell is going to be here virtually with us. It's just going to be an awesome, awesome experience. So that's coming up. I'm working, communicating with Alana Miller over at the Friendship Circle, and hopefully we can help with that teen board that's going on over there as well. So that's kind of our goal. Right now, with our day to grow, live to lead program is going to happen next year.
Oh, this is great stuff. So myrvacpa.com is the website. You can go there, you can get signed up for that. And even though the details are not out there yet, as Bali's talking about it, January the 9th, which is going to be here a lot faster than anybody realizes, you probably want to block that out on your phone, or if you've got a calendar on the wall, whatever it is. But I would say take January the 9th, block it out, make sure you're available. And then as soon as the details are available, of course, we'll get Bali back, and he'll be back with us before that to talk about that. Bali, one of the things I've shared with everybody, and not everybody knows this, you and I chatted a lot. We've had a good time talking about it as a graduate of the Clown College. Man, that is an incredible distinction.
It is definitely something that's opened a lot of doors for me, Jeff. I never toured with the show. I did do some advance work and publicity work for the show, but Clown College started back in 1968. And ran up until 1997. Back in 68, Irvin Feld, who owned the circus at that point in time, saw that his clown alley had dwindled to just a handful of clowns.
Yeah.
And the average age was 56. They were all growing older and not a lot of young folks coming in to take their place. So he started that school back in Florida to replenish the alley there, but also to produce high-level circus performers that could help come alongside the show. So it's opened a lot of doors for me. You know, they accepted two applicants out of 100.
Wow.
Typically, so it was really tough to get into, but it definitely is it gives you something to talk about with the water bottles and
Yeah.
Big shoes and costumes and stuff. So.
Well, I just think it's great. And I've got to think that, that when we talk about John Maxwell and we talk about leadership and we talk about something like Clown College, again, it's about finding that inner strength. It's about finding what your talents are and bringing them to the forefront, man. This is all going to come together beautifully. And I'm just thrilled that you're doing this, and I want to encourage as many people as are able to do it to head on over to myrvacpa.com and sign up for this this program. And then, Bali, I know I'll be happy to talk to you about the Mastermind program that'll be following after that, January the 9th, this big event at the Cultural Arts Center. So it's myrvacpa.com. Is there a cutoff, Bali? When do people have to get the registration?
Actually, Jeff, we're running on like 2 weeks. We're running it on a 2 week cycle. So I'm starting a new group every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Running out for 4 weeks and then running out for 8 weeks. So it's a continual process of folks. We want to get through this program and bring as many people into the ideas of valuing all people and developing, putting people above their own agenda here in the community as we can. So it's a continual process. I've got the next session will start up 2 weeks from Monday.
Okay. Well, fair enough. So myrvacpa.com is where people go to sign up. I'm going to share that on my social media channels as well, Bali, because I'd love to see you have a full house for each one of these. I appreciate you being here, man. I really do. And looking forward to chatting again in the not-too-distant future.
Fantastic, Jeff. And I appreciate the opportunity to come on and look forward to our friendship. We definitely are able to continue to work as John Maxwell team members in the area.
Yes, sir.
To make this place the best place we can.
Absolutely. God bless you, my friend. That is Bali Jarrett. He's a good dude. And I'm telling you, if you have even tickled the cover of that book, High Road Leadership from John Maxwell, you are going to learn so much when you are involved in it. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Self high five.
I look forward all week to doing my BAM. Was it up to snuff, Germ? Just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I mean, it is what I am so beat today, and I apologize for that, but I am. This weekend is going to be, I'm hoping, one of a little more relaxation. Now, you notice, because people sent me notes here, some stuff coming in on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, other stuff coming in via Facebook or over on X. It was, all right. It was just saying, hey, Jeff, where's Stan? Right? You know the way that works, right? Friday afternoons, I always have my brother from another mother, Stan Andruski, who during the week is found at Certified Auto Repair, 8401 Oakview Avenue in the Lakeside section of Enrico, on to preview his show, which airs Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. It is the best weekend radio show anywhere. And apologies to Sam Newsman, but they don't compete with each other. It's certainly the best show at 8 o'clock, and, you know, Sam's pretty doggone good. Sam is the most respected, most trusted puppet in media. He's been reporting since Roswell. It's a long time. But anyway, I digress. But Stan does a great job. Well, Stan has taken the week off. He's up in Boston. He's got a family event, a big wedding going on. So he's not here today, and it's going to be a best of in the garage tomorrow. And ordinarily, I would be disturbed. Like, hey, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I got that, you know. But I am actually going to be able to hopefully relax a little bit. And I think it's allergies. If you haven't noticed, the allergies have ticked up with it. Ragweed seems to be the predominant thing that we're dealing with right now. And I didn't know I was allergic to it. I'm still not sure that I am. And I'm not going to go through all of the pinpricks and the rest of that nonsense. However, I think that's what it is. So that's my excuse and that's my explanation. And there you go. So having said all of that, let me remind you about a couple of things. We're just about done telling you about politics and pints because we're just about out of tickets. And today might very well be the last day. I don't know if we'll have any tickets left next week for you to get. So I would urge you, if you've been on the fence, teetering, tottering, or teetering and tottering, right now is the time to go to WRVA.com. WRBA.com, WRBA.com. Get your tickets for Politics and Pints. It's going to be October the 16th. It's at the Beacon Theater in Hopewell. And as I've mentioned to you, it's probably the last time we're going to be in Hopewell for a while. We got Brian Kilmeade coming in for it. Dana Lash is coming in for it. Obviously, John Reed and I will be there as well. Only way to get your tickets, because we don't sell them at the door and we don't give them away as prizes, you've got to go to WRVA.com. All right. Now, it is Friday, so I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. If you are Hebraically challenged, simply means have yourself a great weekend. We will end today as we have ended every Friday since the awful, awful, murderous attacks of October the 7th by playing Hatikva. That is the national anthem of Israel, and it means the hope.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.